Howdy, everyone. I'm Jacques Gonsolin, and I'm from Seeking Derangements, and I am the new only host of Chapo Trap House. The other guests, or former host, or whatever they were called, have all been murdered, and I have finally risen to the top like I've dreamed of. If you're listening to this, Showpig was canceled, and I ran away from the country, and I now live in the Cayman Islands running the rest of Chapo Trap House independently. No more Seeking Derangements, I guess. But it's pretty easy, honestly, now that I don't have to do it. It's weird that I'm hearing all this like laughter in the background. It's like I'm not alone.
Our ghosts still haunt you.
Oh, my God. The ghost of Will Miniker and the ghost of Chris Wade.
I'm joining via Ouija board from the other side. I'm in a more appropriate place now. Things are a little hot and crowded, but I'll get used to it. I've got all of eternity.
This garage is not that hot. I mean, it could be a little colder to my preference, but keep going, sorry.
Well, okay. It's Thursday, April 4th. This is your Chapo coming through, and joining us today is Jacques from Seeking Derangements.
Hi, yeah, I'm so Jacques. Excited
He's
to be
taking over the show. It's a hostile takeover.
I complained enough times and got jealous enough the times that Ben and Hessa did anything with Chapo without me that I demanded at gunpoint that I come in today and record.
Yeah.
They were just in here like planning for a regular episode. I knock on the door with my 12 gauge.
He's got a sawed off in my face. And Jacques says, y'all, let me on the show.
Y'all, it's time for me to be on the show and y'all can't wait.
It's a classic Airhead situation.
Yes.
I love Brendan Fraser in Airheads is so hot. I mean, like, he used to be the type, like, that was a man meant for many women and men. The Mummy? Monkey Bone.
I love Airheads. Airheads was like one of my favorite movies when I was a kid.
Steve Buscemi in that,
yeah,
too.
Buscemi, yeah. Sandler,
yeah.
Joe Mantegna.
Oh, yeah. Sandler in it too, yeah. Is hot. Yeah. It's kind of funny.
No, all the Airheads are hot.
All right, fuck, marry, kill the Airheads.
All right, Jacques, go. Fuck, marry, kill of the Airheads. What do you got?
Marry Brendan Fraser. Fuck Adam Sandler, kill Steve Buscemi. Ooh,
kill Steve Buscemi?
You think in any situation that I would honestly choose the, hey kids, why don't we play with my skateboard guy or whatever the fuck he says? I love Steve Buscemi. Don't get me wrong, but like,
he's not fuck or marry material is what you're saying.
No disrespect to Steve Buscemi or Steve Buscemi fans out there, but I think that people go a little overboard with the Steve Buscemi fanatics lately, especially. Now, I will say, his greatest work that he ever did was his directorial debut or at work for The Sopranos. I don't know if y'all knew this. He directed
directed the Pine Barrens episode,
which is like the most iconic episode of The Sopranos. But then my also critique about him on The Sopranos, he is like introduced as like a later season character. And honestly, he kind of becomes an irrelevant detail as far as the full plot line of the show. And what did he earn it? How did he get involved in this? Like,
well, he directed the Pine Barrens episode.
Yeah. I guess, okay, yeah, I get. I'm so hypocritical.
See, I like the Tony's cousin plotline. But Jacques, you brought us a present. You brought us some Bing energy drink.
Oh my God, yes. I was about to show y'all a flyer, but unrelated. I've brought the original red black cherry flavor. It used to be Bing cherry flavored. It used to be all made with Bing cherry juice. It's now made with black cherry juice, still comparable, amazing quality, natural juice. Bing is it's actually full title is Petey's Bing, not to be confused with Bang. It is based out of Denver, Colorado. I have been drinking this energy drink every day for the last five years.
This is not native advertising. This is just your enthusiasm.
This
for
is
Bing
my,
energy.
Okay. I have messaged them every day, once a month for the last 6 years, trying to get
like
them
a
sponsor.
Sponsorship.
Yeah, because I buy 2 to 3 cases a month. I drink 2 to 4 a day, and I don't see life without them.
Can you pour me a cup here?
Yeah.
I'm going to get in on this.
Yeah, let's get some of that black cherry Bing. Yeah. That tastes like a black cherry soda, but yeah, it's got energy in it.
So the caffeine content, if everyone was curious, is I believe 127 milligrams of caffeine per. Ooh. Let's see, It's nice. Okay, so it's got, I want to say, 100 milligrams of ginseng. And if you get the Blue Bing, this is the Red Bing. The Blue Bing has L-theanine added to it.
What is that?
It's a natural, like, supplement that if you take it, it can help you relax. So, I mean, an energy drink that helps you relax. Energy,
yeah, wow.
I mean, like, whoa.
It's like a speedball.
They really... Look, I'm going to be honest, y'all, you know, I am kind of a speedball person. Life is a cocktail of drugs that you're constantly balancing out. I like to say that I'm sober, but that would just be a lie about my life in general. You know, it's a balancing act between the weed, the Bing, the Klonopin, and the lifestyle.
Well, Jack, like, I wanted to start off today because, like, you know, you are a renowned DJ.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah. Yes, I do.
I've seen you DJ in New Orleans. You were just talking to Chris about DJ equipment. You were, you know, laying some advice down.
I was actually going to pitch me giving DJ lessons to Chris one day because I feel like if you gave me 30 minutes of you watching me and showing you some techniques, especially because you have a Serato deck, your life would change. I would fuck your life up in the best way.
I do the beat matching. I can do the smooth transitions. I know a few.
Do you use Serato?
Yeah, I'm on Serato.
I'm gonna change your life. So okay, we'll talk about it later.
But yeah, we'll talk about it later.
But continue,
right.
Will.
All right. Well, I mean, like, I just wanted to begin with a story today. This is from Axios, and the headline is "Behind the Curtain: How Trump's Mind Works." And I mean, I think it's a question we've all asked ourselves a number of times. But, like, apparently, according to this article, sort of like a Rosetta Stone for understanding his mind is his Mar-a-Lago Spotify playlist.
Dear God. Well, I want to say, first of all, that I've actually genuinely never thought, why is he doing things like this? I mean, the guy's pretty clear cut. It seems like what he says is what he means.
But he's an honest man. He's an honest man and a good politician.
Well, he talks what I'm not agreeing with Trump's politics at all. I'm just saying, he presents himself exactly how he is.
He appears exactly as he is. Yeah.
But continue about this Spotify playlist.
So it says here, at his Oceanside retreat in Palm Beach, Trump controls the surround sound stereo system on the breezy dining patio with his big iPad and its Spotify list. Regulars jokingly call it the DJT performance. Do you think DJT is a good like a sort of moniker, nom de guerre for DJ Donald Trump?
I'm trying to think of what it would be. DJ MAGA, 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 MAGA. DJ MAGA boy in the house. It's DJ MAGA 69, and I'm here to fucking slay you Republican bitches. Down, down, down. You can insert some air horns and some gunshots after.
We are going to get into Trump's playlist, but Axios lists this. Why it matters? I mean, in case anyone was wondering why this matters.
Let me ask the question first before why it matters. Why did he do it in the first place? And do we think that this is a response directly to Obama's Spotify playlist?
That's a really good point.
Because look, because like he's jealous of Obama. It probably wasn't offered by Spotify to him like it was to Obama.
I hadn't considered that. To be fair, though, like these are people. These are like Mar-a-Lago insiders that are sharing this. Like, you know,
Ramona Singer,
because, you know,
she's to me is the my inside connection to Mar-a-Lago.
But like Obama, you know, because he is not as he appears. He ostentatiously shares his list of, you know, songs, movies, books that he read every year. And every year we have to like be treated to the Obama top 10 list. Whereas Trump, he's keeping these gems to himself and to his inner circle at Mar-a-Lago.
Interesting. And also, just to clarify before we go further, Biden also has a playlist, correct?
I've never seen any kind of...
So I was reading this. I was really side note. Reading about MF Doom online, and there's some kind of official Joe Biden playlist where an instrumental track by MF Doom is played as like one of the, you know, it's like one of the featured Biden tracks. And people were like, okay, what the fuck? Clearly Biden doesn't fucking listen to instrument. He can barely like fucking hear his own voice coming out of his mouth.
I can only imagine Biden's playlist is all the pre-1963 tracks that appear in Martin Scorsese movies.
No,
deep cut doo-wop.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you exactly what's on Joe Biden's playlist. It's only one single song. It's on repeat constantly with his little tiny brain. Rosanna by Toto. And he gets such deep enjoyment out of it. And, you know, they can't even play it at the events because he gets so unconcentrated. Okay. Do they have this?
So it says here.
Wow. Well, let me interrupt and give a little introduction to this new guest on my new TV show, Jacques Chapo Trap House. So Felix is just joining. No. Let me explain it to you first. Let me give you the inside scoop. What you are seeing in front of you, Will and Chris, are not what they seem. They are ghosts and they are dead. I have murdered your co-host, and I am now in charge of Chapo Trap House. You now answer to me. I've left Seeking Derangements, and this is my new show, and I have skipped Show Pig. I canceled the show, and I flew to the Cayman Islands, and I have all of the Chapo and all of the Show Pig, and you now answer to me, Felix. So explain yourself immediately why you were so late.
Well, I was previously going to say that there has been a recurring problem where I unplug my laptop that I use as a alarm clock while I sleep.
This sounds like a Jacques-esque problem, but keep going.
It sort of is. I'm not unaware of that. That it is similar to something that you would do. But yeah, no, during the motion of sleeping, the MagSafe charger comes out. And I thought I had solved this problem. I had not. And the computer just is like, no alarm for you, asshole.
Well, look.
But if you have killed everyone, then I don't have to explain it.
Well, since I'm your new boss, you definitely have to explain it. But as your new boss, I forgive you.
Thank you.
And I welcome you to this meeting of ghost and friendship. And we're currently discussing.
Are we, they're not physical anymore. They don't have to pay rent. Are we paying them?
You think I'm going to pay these fucking ghosts? Hell no. I killed them in this garage. They're going to work for free in this garage. They're lucky that I give them a damn purpose.
I can't leave this garage. Yeah, I mean, with the place you're murdered is the place you will be a ghost forever.
This is American Horror Story Murder House rules for the ghosts. And just to bring you to where we are right now, we are discussing Trump's Spotify playlist, only accessible by the Mar-a-Lago elite, and I don't know what website this was.
This is on Axios. This is an Axios piece about Trump's Spotify. Like he grabs the aux cord when he's at Mar-a-Lago and makes everyone in the dining room listen to not 5-star bangers every track.
This makes me think of the video, the weirdest video ever. I mean, talk about a video where you see it and you're like, did I get murdered? Am I dead? The video of Trump driving, listening to Blank Space, my favorite video ever.
Like the Taylor Swift song?
Yeah, it's Trump. He's driving Melania and Barron, and they're listening to Blank Space.
Well, it's the weirdest video ever, because I didn't know he could drive.
Yeah, me neither.
Like, seeing him behind the wheel of a car was astonishing
to me. It's so fucking weird.
He's small or big in real life?
Big.
Yeah, he's tall?
He's 6'3".
That's even weirder. It has to be like a really big car, like a Hummer.
It was like Rolls Royce, like a Rolls Royce Phantom.
Rolls Royce is a car that you're supposed to have a driver for. You're not supposed to drive a Rolls yourself. That's ridiculous.
What, you don't? Yeah. I think hip hop people might drive their own Rolls Royce, right? Or no?
A lot of the time they seem to, yeah.
Or Kim Kardashian might drive her own Rolls Royce.
I mean, I don't know. I drive a Subaru, so I don't know. What do I know about Rolls Royce?
I don't mean to debate like a political analyst on C-SPAN. also, really quickly, just so you know, Felix, the only human here besides me, this is Bing Energy Drink, which I am promoting solely out of my own love and addiction to it. I've been drinking it every day for about 5-6 years now.
It's quite good.
This is your sample. This is the red black cherry flavor.
Black cherry is one of my favorite flavors. Is this like, is it a co-promotion with the search engine?
No, you fool. It's called Petey's Bing, officially. Petey's Bing Energy Drink is the full title. It is made black cherry juice. It's made in Denver. And I've begged them every once a month for the last 6 years to sponsor me. And they have not responded once.
Well, I mean, now that we're in business together... Like, I think I can give you a little, business secrets of the Pharaoh that will unlock your sponsorship potentials.
I love Pharaohs.
I think the new show will go on, will reach new heights with sponsorships.
I love that.
I'm thinking we should be sponsored by Lockheed Martin and the F-22 Raptor.
That's my
favorite American fighter jet.
That would be so easy. Oh my God, I have the perfect shirt for you. I brought this Lockheed and Martin community service shirt from the company for Showpig for the, you know, but I'll just give it to you and you can just use that and pretend that you already had the sponsorship. You tag them on Instagram. Lockheed and Martin probably have an Instagram. And you say, hey, we're big fans. Can you sponsor us? And they'll just see it and they'll just do it probably. I mean, just, you know, with, we're so popular and beautiful already. What could they say?
You know, it's like, you know, that thing where you go to an office, you just start sweeping up to show them what a hard worker you are.
All right, I'm looking at Lockheed Martin's Instagram page right now, and it's just a lot of cool planes. Something about lunar terrain.
That's hilarious.
Helicopters, planes, sort of like off-road vehicles. And then like some people doing sort of like Wu-Tang hands.
Yeah, I can kind of see that. From
Well, yeah. All right. Yeah, it probably literally is the Wu-Tang thing.
Felix explained his obsession with planes to me recently for the first time. I didn't know that was a thing for you.
Yeah, it's pretty recent. Well, not super recent. I was into planes as a kid, but I've rekindled.
Well, the spectrum comes up different every way.
Lockheed Martin, I did not know this. Lockheed Martin's got Carrie from Mythbusters promoing their stuff.
Oh.
Wait, who's Carrie from
Mythbusters? She's like, she's every guy's
top, every guy's
every
dream.
Every guy's dream girl.
Elizabeth Shue?
Elizabeth Shue, yeah, well, okay. Carrie Byron.
Or
Byron. She was a co-host on the Discovery Channel show Mythbusters. Remember that show?
Of course.
Yeah.
Kevin, I believe, is one of the characters on Mythbusters.
I don't think they're characters. I think they're real people.
One of the main stars.
I forget. All I remember is Carrie on that show.
Carrie from Mythbusters, I feel like, it's not her fault, of course, but I feel like a lot of stalking victims with red hair skyrocketed after Carrie from Mythbusters. Yeah. A lot of stalkers probably were like, oh, I need that. And then, like, you know, there was a girl with red hair who works at, like, you know, the old coffee shop and be like, oh, what if I kill her dog?
Look, if want a little recommendation to anyone listening out there, if you don't want to be stalked, don't leave your window open and put a sign above the open window that says, kiss me. I made this mistake a few years ago, and I don't really want to have to explain what happened, but needless to say, it ended up being quite a different night than I expected. I had taken an Ambien and, you know, things get crazier. Anyway, this is years ago, but tell us more about Mar a Lago and the Spotify playlist.
So it says, to those who know him best, Trump spinning through his golden oldies provides a telling lens into his style on a much bigger stages. It captures his obsession with a few familiar hits, controlling the volume, never changing. It says, whether Trump's in office or not, there's an unchanging patio scene at Mar-a-Lago. The regulars all know each other and feel free to drop by Trump's table. There's sometimes a velvet rope next to Trump's chair, but it more signifies his throne of honor than keeping people away. Members tell him how great he's doing. He'll often show them a printout of a poll that shows him as the greatest. So the hotelier and Trump is very proud of the dinner buffet. He pushes the specials. So, all right, let's go to the track. Let's go to the playlist here.
I want to hear the playlist, and I'm sorry to constantly interrupt like a maniac. Is Mar-a-Lago function like a business? I thought it was just a personal home of his. It has like a hotel.
You know, yeah, no, it's a
golf resort.
Club. It's a resort. Like it's a member only like country club golf resort. I mean, you can play golf there if you're not a member. If a member invites you, I think you can like reserve, you know, links times at Mar-a-Lago. But like, yeah, it's like a hotel. Like he uses it kind of as like, you know, his office too.
I didn't know it was his own little personal wonderland or Neverland.
Yeah.
It's his Neverland.
It's exactly what it's like.
It's like one of the things that he does where I'm like, that's kind of a cool way to spend money.
He's like the wizard from Wizard of Oz.
I think like a lot of things that billionaires spend money on, it's almost hack at this point, but it's like stupid. It's like, who would want this, right?
I would want that.
But the idea, like you have a big beautiful like club that only people that love you can join. And they're still paying,
and they're still paying
like $500,000 a year to you to join.
Yeah,
and you
again,
live there.
That's a pretty good use of resources. If anyone's listening who can provide me this, like a Jacques Largo, Bing's on, like the faucets
have Bing coming out of them.
Bing on tap. We've got a subway. Inside the place,
like an airport.
The pro shop is filled with almost exclusively Telfar and
Dab rigs.
We have actually a dispensary on site. Acupuncture. Couples massage, strippers. Basically,
this sounds fantastic.
Anything that I experienced in Portland recently, had it on a list that in a localized thing. So, someone get me a resort. Someone who's listening, please get me a resort immediately. I'm begging you. I'm in Los Angeles and they're holding me hostage. I'm in a garage in somewhere in Lake Calhoun, or I don't even know what this neighborhood's called. I don't know what the name. I'm lost, and I don't know where I am.
Okay. Oh shit, Jock! You just remembered. You just reminded me because we are in Los Angeles. I do have to give a shout out to the restaurant.
Yeah, Dunsmore.
Yeah. I got to give a shout out to the restaurant Dunsmore, who thanks to their wonderful manager, who's a fan of the show, received us the other night. And I got to say, if you are in the sort of Eagle Rock area of Los Angeles, this is one of the finest restaurants I've ever been to. If you like things cooked on a wood flame, you could not find a better restaurant than this. It was fantastic.
Is there any other main themes of the restaurant that the listeners out there should know to identify it with?
As Amber described it, it's like the type of place that it's the type of food that gave kings gout.
It's like chicken liver, and so it's just opulent and delicious and perfect.
It was fantastic.
Just shout out to and I apologize if I'm mispronouncing your name, but Zaituna, who hooked us up there. I will certainly be back sometime. And if you feel like bawling out in the Northeast LA area, Dunsmore.
I don't know them, but I'll be going on my own in disguise, not as a podcaster, but just as a normal person. Tell me the first song on this playlist.
Okay, so it's Golden Oats. First song on the playlist, and if you listened to our show before, and because we've covered this topic, this song will not come as any shock to you. It's Phantom of the Opera from Phantom of the Opera.
What the fuck?
He loves musicals. Phantom of the Opera.
He loves musicals.
Musicals? How does he even hold on to his masculinity?
Well, he was a rich guy in the 80s in New York. Mm. And like in the 80s, you would, that was like balling out. You would take like, who's a woman you would date in the 80s?
Sean Young. Sigourney Weaver is a woman I would date in the 80s.
Dana Barrett? That's what's up. Oh.
Sean, like you would take Sean Young to a musical if you were like a business guy and you wanted to get some slime.
Oh, I love Strange. Yeah. I go to a musical or do just about anything for some Strange.
It was a really weird time. It's like there are all these rapacious business guys who were like buying these old companies and ripping them apart and like just, you know, telling thousands of people, like just throwing them out on the streets, just strip mining all these assets. And then like when they were done, when they were clocking out, they were like, what's the new Andrew Lloyd Webber thing? what did he do? I don't know when that stopped, when it stopped being cool to go to a musical when it opened. But
when people woke up and said, that's faggy, and they held on to the little bit of their masculinity and Americana and said, oh, snap out of it and stop doing this weak stuff.
For Trump, it persisted at least until the 2000s. One of my favorite press photos of him, or like Getty images, is him and Melania at the American Idiot the Musical premiere.
God. Okay, two things. Only musical I ever respected was Rocky Horror Picture Show. It's the only one I can tolerate. Yeah, deep in my heart. Second thing, what was the play you just mentioned? The
American Idiot, Green Day, American Idiot.
This is a really brief story. It's really important. I swear it's good. This girl wants me and her kind of get hitting it off, and we're really having a good time, and she's talking to me about her music taste, and she's showing me music videos of the Eagles. And then I've never listened, she's showing me Kenny Chesney, Toby Keith, Tim McGraw stuff I'd never heard.
Was this
heard.
The mom from The Blind Side?
No, you fucked her?
She was trying to recruit you to be a tackle for LSU.
No, it was a woman from Dallas. And finally, she says, I want to show you a punk song. And I said, okay. And I was like, what other kind of music do you listen to? Punk, you know, I like a little punk. So she pulls up on YouTube. Wake Me Up When September Ends live on Howard Stern. And she was not making a joke at all. She was being 100% honest, serious. Like, she was like, yo, just like, check out this video. And I was blown away. She was also discovered poppers for the first time ever. And she had just got done them earlier that night, and she was reacting to them like someone the first time being given a bag of cocaine and saying, have as much fun. And she was just going crazy with the poppers. And needless to say, she kissed me after we listened to that. One more. Thank God I didn't stain that that white couch that I was staying on. Okay, anyway,
Okay, so we've got Phantom of the Opera. Then we got another big musical hit here, Jesus Christ Superstar.
Okay, see,
Jesus Christ Superstar.
I'm so unfamiliar with musicals. They just premiered this in New Orleans on Easter Day. And I was going to go with this girl, but she thought they were premiering the Molly Shannon Superstar movie. And she was so disappointed.
John, the things you will do for some slime, for some strays.
It's not just for slime. I want to be honest. I'm a sweet person, and I just want to hug and be sweet on people. It's not just about getting strange, but I wouldn't.
There's
just like a commonality I see in a lot of the women from your stories.
I'm more romance positive than sex positive. I'll say that.
No, yeah, I have nothing to say about that. That's like, you know, your own business. But the women, how do I put this?
I can't.
They
wait.
Have like a dental hygienist intelligence type.
Okay. I want you to flip that thing and reverse it, because the women that list that I'm thinking of are high leading society types, elites of every area of the U.S. and internationally that make up the greater portion of the greatest women of the world. So maybe you could rephrase whatever you just said to sound more sweet about the women that I love.
They're debutantes.
Okay. Well, you can work on that, but good try. Hit me with the third song, right. Something I Know. Please.
Yeah, okay. Elvis, Suspicious Minds.
Okay. I will. That's pretty good. That checks out. Reminds me of the covering of Elvis from Big Little Lies. I think that Reese Witherspoon's husband's character in Big Little Lies sings Suspicious Minds.
Caught in a trap. All right, next is Hello by Lionel Richie. Any thoughts on that?
It just kind of makes sense. Like he probably has a lot of like good memories of that song.
Yeah. I don't know that one, but you know, everything that makes sense that he would have a mind.
Music video where Lionel Richie, he's singing, and then there's a blind girl who's in a sculpture class.
She
makes Lionel Richie.
Absolutely, that definitely 100% checks out. I could see him being like, "This is a bop."
All right, the next one. One of my favorite songs as a kid, growing up, and especially the music video, November Rain by Guns N' Roses.
This is, yeah.
Am I at the World War II Museum right now? What's the age difference here? Y'all are making me feel like I'm at the VW. You know, back in my day, we would watch the November Rain Guns N' Roses music video right before we got some slime. Back in my day, before we had Chapo Trap House, we read literally books like The Outsiders, you know? Stay golden, pony boy, we would say to each other as boys, because we all grew up together. We've known each other that long.
I'm so old that when I saw the November Rain video, when the rain starts happening at the end, I took out an umbrella in my apartment because I didn't understand.
I could almost cry laughing right now just thinking about how jealous I am of how old y'all are, which makes no sense. It makes sense for me to be jealous of your position in life, but definitely more so. I'm like, God, they just have so many years on me. They could slam dunk me to death.
I think I'm within like a couple of years of you.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Because someone recently was trying, I was trying to talk with someone about what maybe your age was. I tried Googling it. And it said something like 40.
Yeah, no, 40. I've had a lot of problems with celebrity.
It confused me.
Yeah, they say that I'm 42, that I'm 5'8".
Well, it confused the fuck out of me because I was like, oh, me and Felix are closer in age, so I can relate to him more than these two Great Depressions. I can relate to Felix more than these two Dust Bowl rejects. It's so cool that I could meet real life survivors.
okay, we got a few more songs here. Next is the duet between James Brown and Luciano Pavarotti. It's a man's 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 world. I had no idea James Brown did a duet with Pavarotti.
I imagine him driving like Intro to Sopranos style, like around Florida, like smoking his cigar, thinking like, I run women, I run the world, I am a man. Yeah.
And then a song from Cats comes up.
I'm not trying to sound offensive to people out there who don't know me, but this fag energy that I'm detecting from the amount of musical notes that this man is attached
to.
He loves musicals.
I understand the explanation he gave me, but it's almost unfathomable for a man who's like, I grabbed the pussy, and then like with all the right-wing shit, and then he would even like publicly do musicals. I thought that was like the equivalent of like,
yeah, that, like
having
of, like,
a limp wrist
in public.
Or listening to Ariana Grande as a quote unquote straight guy in person. You know,
next up we have Nothing Compares to You by Sinead O'Connor.
Okay. Insane classic, amazing. Personally, I think the Prince version, the original, slams, but it makes more sense. But also then again, like, isn't he Catholic?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, he's like Presbyterian.
Okay, cool. I don't know really what that means, but
Okay, then finally, Losing My Religion by R.E.M.
What the fuck? Okay, see, this is the one song that strikes a deep emotional chord. This is the R.E.M. that I grew up on, that album, and like that era was so But Losing My Religion? Okay, for me, if I was Trump and I was going to imagine what I was going to put on my Spotify playlist, that was R.E.M., Stand, in the place where you learn or whatever, that would make more sense. Or maybe the radio song.
Or It's the End of the World as We Know It.
Well, that would be just too on the nose for him. He would, you know, does he play into people being scared of the apocalypse?
The immigrant apocalypse. Yeah, he's sort of about Night Swimming?
That's a sexy song. Yeah. There's this, if you Google Night Swimming Chopping Screws by DJ Drobitussin, it is the DJ Drobitussin does the best Chopping Screws. Y'all, Night Swimming around my net. It's so good, fucking funny.
DJ Drobitussin?
DJ Drobitussin. He does your regular average pop, hip hop or rap Chopping Screws, but then he has a whole album of rock and roll Chopping Screws. He has like Pink Chopping Screwed or like things that are almost like you would think are a parody, but he's being dead serious. He has a prolific band camp and like huge album. Okay, sorry to go off.
But we'll go out with DJ Drobitussin.
Investigating this heavily.
So Jacques, like just, you know, as someone who's a professional DJ, like, you know, how do you rate Trump's playlist? And also, like, if you were put in charge of the Mar-a-Lago playlist, like, how would you change it up?
Oh, my God. Well, first of all, if this is the only thing that they're publicly releasing, I'm giving it a 2.
out of 10, okay.
Yeah, I'm pissed. I feel like it doesn't even show his personality. Okay.
I think it shows his personality quite well.
I don't know. Can I give y'all what I think?
Yeah, please.
First up, Give It To Me Baby by Rick James is what I think for his first song. Because I think he has this attitude he's like, I can have whatever I want.
That sweet, that gushy, that nasty stuff.
Yeah, and he's like, come on, give it over now. I love that strange slime. okay, second song on the playlist. And this is going to be what people wouldn't suspect. But just to fuck with people, he puts Philadelphia by Neil Young. And he only
is that Bruce Springsteen?
Are you fucking? Did you just hear me?
Oh yeah, wait, okay.
I'm sorry.
Streets of Philadelphia.
No, I almost threw an anvil at your head and smashed you open like the dead ghost you aren't. Philadelphia, the song by Neil Young, was the theme song for the movie Philadelphia.
You're literally thinking of the Bruce Springsteen song.
It was the opening credits to the movie, Jonathan Demme movie.
Confirm, Jacques is correct. There is a song off the Philadelphia soundtrack called Philadelphia.
When Tom Hanks dies and everyone is at his apartment for the wake, it is playing in the background and it is the saddest song in the movie. It is the official theme song. Fuck y'all.
No, it isn't.
He only played, shut the fuck up. And Trump plays the first 30 seconds of it, the room gets really quiet, and then he skips it right after and he goes, joking. and then Cannibal by Kesha plays next. He's like, I just want to have some fun. Okay, so for the fourth song to play right after that, a Trump banger, and he's like, I really do like this song, is I Got a Feeling by the Black Eyed Peas.
Okay.
Sort of Trump core.
Yeah.
And like Donald Trump in 2009, like the last time before he was conservative, when he was like, I think we should have universal health care. And he was like, Bush is a loser. Like when everyone loved him, he was definitely listening to Black Eyed Peas around that time.
Finally, we kick it up. He really wants to bring the energy of the room alive. He wants to bring the people together. He wants to make them feel like we're all one. Working for the Weekend. Journey.
Yeah.
I love that song. And, you know,
it's the world's richest people who essentially do the littlest amount of work. Hearing this song, identifying with the other class of people that they never even are attached to or have any actual relationship or care. And they're throwing their hands in the air and they're like, we are working for the weekend. And Trump is popping his pussy open in the middle.
Jack, that's a fantastic playlist for Mar-a-Lago. Because I think all of those songs would I don't think like these are ironic choices. I think like this would go over like fucking gangbusters at Mar-a-Lago.
I'm thinking about the people that would be there.
This is why you're professional. Yeah.
Ramona Singer. I'm DJing this set for Trump at Mar-a-Lago. And by the way, I'm not trying to sound like an evil person, but if Trump offered to pay me, I'll do it. I would do this DJ set and I would look at Ramona in the front row every song and I would wink at her and make sure that, and you know, I could tell the more she danced and the more her nipple came out that the song was the right choice.
Perfect. Sometimes I think that I know what love's all about, and when I see the light, I know.
Just kidding, y'all. Let's turn up.
I'll eat you up.
Moving on to the second story I have here. This is a story that that we selected because it's got for Felix and Jacques. For Jacques, this is a Louisiana story. And for Felix, this is a story about people with strange or sort of non-conventional animal pets.
Interesting.
All right.
This is a headline from the New York Times. A New Orleans man wants his possum back. Thousands have joined his plea.
Oh my God. I can immediately tell you what you're talking about. Basically, the Louisiana Wildlife and Fishery Board or like some kind of government official took this pet possum from these people who made it into an Instagram/New Orleans famous possum. I love animals and I love people who want to give animals special places, and I think they should be put first.
I mean, you got this one dead to rights, Jacques.
But just come on, you people are looking for attention. Like, do you even know how to keep a possum properly? And then, like, is that actually something that you should be having as a pet? It's like when people have pet monkeys, and that's kind of evil.
Yeah,
I'm absolutely unconditionally against any type of pet primate or slave. If it's a human.
Yeah.
But
you know, I possum. People have had crazier pets than possums.
I'm okay with pet raccoons because if you get them when they're babies, because I've known people, family and friends who have small farms who raise little raccoons as pets, and it's worked out. And I'm pretty familiar with that, and I'm comfortable with that. But possums are not like a friendly creature to be having. It seems disgusting. It seems dangerous. And I'm sorry, like, you want to be eclectic and cool in New Orleans? Like, have an interesting story. Don't have, like, a fucking object, like, accessory possum that you're like, oh, I'm so sad that you would give me the possum back. And they got the possum back, and it was, like, such a big to-do. And it's like, okay, literally there are people being carjacked in New Orleans who are losing limbs right now. Like, do we
as
need-
part of the carjacking? They're like, "I'll take your arm too."
No, I mean, there was the thing that set off New Orleans as being listed recently as one of the more dangerous places was a 3-person teenager carjacking of an elderly woman where her arm got stuck in the and ripped out and she
Jesus
died.
Christ.
And now they're in jail for life, and that's why. I don't know. I had a stroke, but it was basically like the point of it is there's more important things going on in New Orleans. And also New Orleans, you shouldn't be scared of it as this dangerous place. It's one of the most special, wonderful places in the world. And you should visit there before it's gone because one more hurricane and it's gone.
No, New Orleans is like the most singular, like it's the most unique American city.
Yeah.
By far. Every other city in America just feels like America and New Orleans feels like something else.
Yeah. Culture is preserved in a way that put up on a pedestal in a different way than any other city in the U.S. And Louisiana in general is like that. And with three football fields dissolve off of the Louisiana coastline every 30 minutes because of coastal erosion. So the amount of, you know, time that New Orleans has is limited by that already. And with the risk of natural disaster, take the time today to go visit this city before it is gone. That's all I have to say. Okay, go back to the possums.
I'm just going to give you a little flavor from the article here. And Jacques, you basically did the article for me. But it says here, a man in New Orleans, lonesome for a possum named Saffron, whom he had raised as a pet and dressed in a colorful sweater, is appealing to the authorities to return the animal, which was taken from him by state wildlife officials.
And when I become president of New Orleans, this guy is becoming executed or exiled at least.
So it says thousands have backed
Saffron?
Thousands have backed an online petition to reunite the man with his marsupial.
Was there a counter petition for him to not be reunited with it?
I should start one.
I feel like I should get into some legislation.
So this is William Voiles, an artist who makes braided trinkets.
All jokes, I'm not trying to start some kind of hate campaign towards this guy, but read that name again to me.
William Voiles.
Why doesn't he just call himself Ronnie Transylvania? This motherfucker's fake ass weird name. He's naming his pet possum Saffron. Let me just typecast this guy really quickly. He dresses like a 2013 hipster. His favorite album is Arcade Fire, The Suburbs. He's a big fan of Beirut and wearing wide brim hats that make him look like an AHS Covent star or a member of the band The National. And
he's 50. He's 50 years old.
That is true. And he probably eats at Turkey and the Wolf in New Orleans. I've got fucking this. Okay, just continue. I'm getting angry.
Like going into this, when I heard about a pet possum, I pictured like, you know, traditional Louisianan, like a guy in overalls and like a straw hat.
That's a person that I would trust.
Yeah.
That deserves that. I'm going to say this. It's like people shouldn't be raising ducks in the middle of New Orleans. Mm-hmm. If you're not on a farm personally, my fault. I mean, my opinion, and I'm sorry to my roommates who raised those 6 ducks. And I'm sorry, I'm sorry that they died. It has nothing to do with me, too. I just want to clarify.
I mean, like chickens, surely, right?
Chickens make sense in New Orleans because it's pretty common for people to have them. But
I mean, ducks need to fly and stuff.
And we had a pretty big yard. I just think that they were happier when they were living in Montana because the ducks had all been living in Montana growing up.
Yeah, a lot more space. Yeah. Just a little bit more. It says here, he makes braided trinkets. Said the 1-year-old possum had been confiscated in the city's French Quarter during Mardi Gras celebrations earlier this month as part of a public safety effort. A friend's petition on change.org to bring saffron home had garnered nearly 4,000 signatures by Wednesday afternoon. It says here, in an interview on Wednesday, Mr. Voiles, 50, said he and his friends were appealing to law enforcement, biologists, veterinarians, online supporters, and even Governor Jeff Landry of Louisiana for help. Saffron formed part of a menagerie, including one rabbit and two dogs, all named after spices that Mr. Voiles reeled around New Orleans on a tricycle with a basket and a trailer.
Every word that you utter, I can see you
vibrating right now, Jack.
I'm hitting that seventh Kungalingi chakra, and it's vibrating so hard with the megahertz of absolute rage and anger because every little word you utter just fucking. God damn it. Like, the people in New Orleans need to calm down and live normal, like, just lives sometimes. Like, stop trying to be weird. Like, but tell me more about this Will Oberlin or whatever his name is.
Mr. Voiles said he took in saffron last year, 6 weeks after the death of his longtime companion, a 12-year-old pit bull named Cinnamon. He said he'd been on his way to the French Quarter when he spotted a dead possum on the side of the road with a joey crawling on top of her no bigger than the size of my thumb. Baby possums are born naked and blind about the size of honeybees after a gestation period of just under 2 weeks. He didn't have his eyes open or anything, Mr. Voyle said. When I picked him up, I wasn't thinking about breaking any law. I was just thinking about saving a life.
Okay, so now that you say that fucking little virtue signaling a paragraph. Like, oh, I care about everyone, every little creature. I feel bad that I made fun of him because he sounds genuine. But also, then again, I'm still like questioning your fucking motives. Like, who's going around picking up vermin baby off of dead animals?
I think it's impressive that he raised like a marsupial infant to maturity. Because they really are like little worms and they just like they're in a pouch and then they just gotta like suckle until they get like regular baby size.
I'm a secret germaphobe in some ways and I won't have a pet for that reason. Also because I can't handle my own life, let alone the life of another creature. And I just, that sounds disgusting that he was even, he was willing to touch a dead corpse of an animal, which to me, I love eating meat and that doesn't disturb me at all. But like roadkill, dead rats, dead animals, like that shit disgust me to a level like, oh,
yeah.
God.
Jacques, like, I think,
I throw away shoes if I step in gum because I'm so disgusted by gum. I made the writer for the show tonight say no gum allowed backstage. and I got many bottles of mouthwash for all of the people instead.
Excellent. I mean, like, yeah, not much more than a possum. I'll just say, like, for my personal taste, I wouldn't want a possum as a pet, but there's something, I think possums are an animal that I find, well, first of all, they're the America's only marsupial, so I think that's kind of cool. And also, like, they're an animal that I find is, like, sort of on, it's an animal that is both simultaneously repellent and adorable at the same time.
Look, it's like, what are those weird animals with, like, the beaver tail and the
platypus.
Platypus is a beautiful animal that I would be loved to see in real life, and it sounds amazing. Doesn't mean I need it as a fucking accessory pet so that I can showboat around.
Platypus, the only mammal that's venomous.
Oh, really?
And they also lay eggs. So platypus is probably the most unique mammal that exists on the planet.
Yeah, they really are one of one.
It's got to be an alien that disguised as a human, something like that, disguised as an earth animal, or like I think a lot of marine biology is. Aliens disguised as Earth. I mean, come on, seriously, like jellyfish, they don't seem like they're real.
Like every girl who like says that she wants to be a marine biologist when she grows up is like basically just trying to contact an extraterrestrial
species. She's just been sleeping with an extraterrestrial all of her life and she just wants a job field that she can like meet up with her boyfriend in. That's it.
All right, well, you know, actually, this is a good segue because you're talking about like creatures of the deep being aliens.
Creatures of the deep.
And Cameron. Like that sounds very similar to the Cameron movie, The Abyss.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I always wondered why no one ever messaged him during all of that sub drama.
No, they did. He was interviewed like, I saw him interviewed on TV like the day it happened.
Yeah, but by the
time he was taking a big victory lap because he was like, well, you know, my submarine worked.
He's gone down there so many times. I'm like, he probably saw that news article and said, phew. Thank God I paid the extra $5,000.
He told them not to do it as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, continue where you were about.
Right, well, I mean, this ties in with another James Cameron movie, Titanic, right? We all love Titanic.
No, I fucking hate it. It's one of my least favorite movies of all. The only good James Cameron movie to ever be created was Terminator 2, which is one of the Judgment Day ones.
You don't like Terminator, the first one, the original Terminator?
I like it. I didn't know Cameron directed the original one, but Terminator 2 is one of the greatest movies ever made. Greatest movie ever made. Skynet. I want to be a part of it. Call me today.
Well, you clearly had a really different interpretation of it than other people.
Yeah, I mean, I was just like, God, Sigourney Weaver what's the lead actor?
Linda Hamilton.
Linda Hamilton fucking was like, that's why I'm attracted to older women. Her in the desert with the gun
she's got jacked shoulders.
Oh,
yeah.
Fuck! I want that woman today. If she could come to the show tonight, I'll give her more than a seat. okay, but James Cameron is an abomination to cinema Avatar is one of the biggest waste of the entire world. I walked out of that movie 30 minutes into the movie at within the first week it came out, and I was at like with the manager like berating him, being like, why did you let me pay for that? I bought the extra large popcorn, the drink, 4 Reese's peanut butter cups times 2. That's 2 super king size packs. That's 37 grams of sugar times 2, plus all that. I got a lot. You need to fork it over. And it's an abomination, and it's cultural appropriation. And it's white people that want to do blackface that can't, and they want, and so they can do blueface. And
every Chapo listener is vibrating right now to hear what's going to happen next.
Are y'all mad? I'm sorry.
Okay. I have a lot of questions. Let's start. Like, first, was the manager supposed to like make the movie better for you? Like
the manager?
Yeah. Like, why did you go to the manager with this?
Well, because he was the only person, I went to the movie theater alone. So what am I going to go walk up to a stranger and start complaining about the movie?
Sounds like you did.
Well, no, I mean, I walked up to the official movie man. Okay. He's like the movie commissioner of the area. He's like seriously, the manager. Listen, effectively, any manager of a movie theater is effectively the local commissar / director of media propaganda for your local area. He is in charge of what comes in and comes out to your heads in relationship to theater movies. Uh-huh. He could decide, I want there to be 150 showings more of Avatar instead of putting 150 more showings of Last Holiday starring Queen Latifah to make people happier, which people today need more than they need Avatar, which is bullshit. And it kills me to think that people are out there wasting their fucking time.
It's all about the money, though. Money.
That's fucked up. That's why Marvel movies are evil.
Yeah.
That's why I don't watch Marvel movies since X-Men, the original one, or Toby Maguire era Spider-Man. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, I stopped with that. You know, Batman Begins in Dark Knight. That was the end of the Batman culture. Everything else besides that is done for. People need to return to the classic styles of cinema, like, you know, Nancy Myers-esque rom-coms, you know, with zero realism and 100% laughs and love.
It's complicated.
It's complicated. Something's got to give.
Yeah.
She did fucking Baby Boom with Diane Keaton. She did The Holiday with Jack Black and Cameron Diaz. Like, those are amazing movies. Like, what the fuck did games Cameron ever did to touch someone's heart. I don't see people out there.
Terminator 2. True Lies.
True Lies.
I've never seen True Lies.
Yeah, Aliens.
The Abyss.
Oh, I didn't know he did. Okay.
No. Jacques, you know, like, it's all funny, but James Cameron, you know, he's the GOAT.
Yeah.
He's the GOAT.
Nah.
He's not just like one of the most important, you know, film commissars ever. He's probably the greatest living administrator in this era of humanity.
Well, I mean, listen.
Andy Cohen.
Yeah, you're right. He's the greatest.
Andy Cohen's the king. It's a split between Andy Cohen and the director of Poor Things.
Yorgos,
since Dogtooth has been at it. Consistently.
All right. Well, this is good because you need not like James Cameron to enjoy this story because it is a story about someone who takes his movies too seriously.
Yeah.
This is headline. Billionaire says his long delayed Titanic 2 ship will be antidote to woke politics. So this guy, okay, this is an Australian mining billionaire named Clive Palmer, who has dedicated a huge amount of his life and resources to building a second Titanic. Not a movie, like an actual ship, like that he's hoping to build. It says here, Titanic 2, Australian mining billionaire Clive Palmer's proposed heir to the original RMS Titanic, hasn't faced a disaster so far because over the decade and change that Palmer has been pitching it, nothing has been built. First announced in 2012 for the 100th anniversary of the Titanic's fateful voyage, Palmer envisions the Titanic 2, operated by his company Blue Star Line, as a historically accurate tribute to its namesake, right down to the cramped steerage cabins. Of course, there will be some tweaks to ensure it reaches its destination this time. Palmer wants the ship to have cutting-edge navigation equipment, safety systems, and plenty of lifeboats throughout the many snags in the project, including payment disputes and scrap plans to build in a Chinese shipyard. Very little of this core idea has changed, with Palmer brushing off skeptics by reminding them that he has the money and the determination to see it through. So this is like a mad, like a sort of Fitzcarraldo type, like, you know, like just like some mad passion to do something insane. But like, I kind of have to respect him for going through with it. I will say, though, I'm a little concerned about the historical accuracy because I don't think you should be building it with cutting edge navigation equipment, safety systems, and plentiful lifeboats.
You think it should be?
I think there should be like two lifeboats on
yeah,
it.
I love the idea of it being even as dangerous or even more dangerous than the actual movie or what. I don't know what it was like. How many people died, do you think, in real life?
Like a couple thousand.
Oh, damn.
Well, actually, yeah, look that up.
More than 9/11 or less?
Okay, that's a good question.
That's how I think it was less.
How many people died?
I'm looking.
That's how I can base my emotional reaction about how I feel about what happened then. So y'all must remember since y'all are that
1,517.
You missed this. Oh, you were there.
All right, so less than 9/11.
Yeah. It's about a half of 9/11.
That's still pretty big and significant. I'm sorry for the lives that were lost that day. Okay, first of all, my first question is that you said this has like a response against woke politics. I'm imagining, is this like the premier Carnival cruise of anti-woke sentiment? Like who's like, are like Anna and Dasha, like the head captains of the ship or do we got a live premiere of the Perfume Nationalist on this thing or something?
I'm getting into there's an interview with him where he's going to like,
I don't know either of those people, by the way, all three of those names I just listed. I just am saying hot words I heard off of an interview recently.
So it says here, he has a determination to see it through. What has changed somewhat is how Palmer, who in the past decade has served in Australian Parliament and chaired a right-wing political party he founded, describes the symbolism of the Titanic. In a March 13 press conference at the Sydney Opera House to announce his recommitment to reconstructing the doomed ocean liner, Palmer said it would be a beacon of hope amid war in Ukraine and Gaza, bring people together after an era of COVID lockdowns, and embody traditional values as opposed to woke politics. I just think it's funny that like he's...
Oh, so I'm not allowed to go on because I'm trans.
Like I think it might be a problem. I mean, in the interview, he says it's open to all. It's open to all who want the Titanic experience. But like, the symbolism of the Titanic is not a bygone era. The symbolism of the Titanic is like one of the greatest disasters in human history. And like, if anything, it's a metaphor for the hubris of man to, you know, like they said, oh, the ship that would never sink. And then it's like, okay, it sunk.
What was the time period of the...
Like the early 20th century.
So I'm just trying, like, what was the most unwoke, realistic feature of the actual Titanic. Like, what? Like,
the fact
what?
That Irish people had to stay in crates.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. I mean, like, were the working conditions so bad for the lower level workers that it was like almost.
Well, like, I mean, it was constructed. So, like steerage, which was like the real shit, that's like sitting flying coach on United, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That was for like, you know, like the working classes, and they were all crammed in there. And then there was the huge, you know, staterooms. And actually, James Cameron's Titanic is kind of a movie about class, if you think about it.
I mean, I don't mean to sound ignorant, but I don't really think about class often. Mostly drink Bing energy drinks and do dabs and, you know.
But okay, so he says here, this is part of the interview, and this is with Rolling Stone. And they ask him, this has been in the works for a long time, but how did you originally get interested in the Titanic? And he says, it's very topical. I originally got interested because we know how to make war, see what's happening in Ukraine and Gaza, but it's much more difficult to make peace in the world. And the Titanic is an international symbol. It's a symbol of love and peace, really. It's like, that's where I'm getting hung up on. The Titanic is a symbol of love and peace. It's like...
No, Woodstock was a symbol of love and peace, not your fucking replica boat fantasy, you billionaire bitch. Where is he from, too?
Yeah, Australia.
Oh, so he's racist. Yeah. I mean, I know Australian people who aren't racist that I respect, but I mean, this guy...
Well, he says it's a symbol of love and peace. I mean, the movie, everyone knows about the Jack and Rose story. All of us have a Jack and Rose story of our own. So I thought it would be good
what
to
What a
do-
down under douche. Are you fucking kidding me? We all have our own Jack and Rose story. I once accosted an older woman on a famed boat that crashed into the sea because of an iceberg. It's an experience coming of age familiar to all people. Man, fuck this dude. This guy is a class A F word, and that stands for Fezzamanook or faggot or I guess it's Mezzafanook, but... Man.
So he says, so I thought it would be good to do something to promote those aspects in life. Secondly, we need to remember the people of the Titanic and some of the values that we question in society today disappearing, such as courage and self-sacrifice. You remember the musicians on the Titanic that stood there at their station playing Nearer My God to Thee? They were more concerned about the people that were with them than themselves. We're running our culture into a self-centered society. So we want to refocus on those things. So Jacques, if you were DJing on the Titanic too and it was sinking, would you finish your set as people were filing to the lifeboats?
Oh, fuck yes. I would be, oh my God, I would be slamming in all of the Jersey club in between happy hardcore. Like there'd be some Lil Texas in there. I'd play some Radio Department. I'd switch back to A.G. Cook. Probably be PC music, A.G. Cook heavy for the last moments of my life / the people around me. I would play the Golden Girls theme song. I would play the Cheers theme song. I would play the Law & Order SVU theme song. I would play the love theme from the movie Splash. I would play the love theme from St. Elmo's Fire. I would play...
Can I just make one request?
Yeah, sure.
Cowboy Bebop theme song?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I would actually... More specifically, I'm... super fan of Cowboy Bebop, even more so about the soundtrack. There's a particular track in Arabic called, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. It's Hamdush or something like that. Hamdushe. It is, I believe, from the Cowboy Bebop series, though. It might be from the movie. It is this beautiful Arabic song. It's like just the most beautiful Arabic jazz song with singing that I've ever heard in my entire life. And that's what I would play. The Cowboy Bebop theme song is just too excited and, you know, happy, or maybe it might convey the wrong message before they die.
I am really sick of people playing that on boats that are sinking.
Yeah, that's like my first complaint is like, God, not typical anime theme songs while I'm dying.
So he says here, he's talking about some of the difficulties in constructing it. He says, one of the big things we found in the plans as we tried to build the Titanic was a big square going down 5 decks. We didn't know that was 4, but we discovered a flooring that had one word, potatoes. This was the food store for all of the third class. You could have sauteed potatoes, fried potatoes, mashed potatoes, but all you had was potatoes in third class. A lot of people saying they wanted tickets at the time were New York stockbrokers stuck in a dingy office all day, talking to other people about nothing. I guess wanting to get back to some reality, some sort of human nature. because we will have Irish dancing, we will have one-to-one contact in the cabin, the two of you sharing together, and 30 of you sharing the bathroom. That's part of the experience of that Titanic. It's not the luxury part. So he's selling this as a pitch. This is like what he's selling to Big Up. You will share the bathroom with 30 people in steerage.
Well, look, I'm going to tell you the most attractive part of what you just read out to me. Potatoes in all those ways sounds delicious. I might choose this option, but just solely based on the experience of eating potatoes for a few days in so many varieties of delicious ways. I mean, now I feel like I want that spread out for tonight for the green room. What, can you read back the potatoes to me?
Sauteed potatoes.
Oh my God.
Fried potatoes.
Oh my God.
Mashed potatoes.
Whoa. I mean, talk, that's strange. That's slime. That's the good stuff. That's what people are gooning out with.
Yeah. Jacques, what's your favorite kind of mashed potatoes? Do you like them sort of like, you like it like more of a, like a smooth mashed potato, or do you like a sort of a chunkier one? Do you like roasted garlic in it, chives?
A requirement for my mashed potatoes is that an entire container of Parmesan shredded, or preferably shaved, Parmesan Reggiano is added to it.
Excellent.
Green onions chopped finely, and bits of freshly cooked bacon bits cannot
now
be
you're
bacon
talking my
bits.
Language. Now you're that, talking my language. Yeah, you know. You got to have real bacon. Real
and
bacon.
Then obviously like 3 to 4 full sticks of butter.
Yeah.
And I use about 1 stick of butter for most meals I eat every day.
It's good stuff. So, I mean, basically he's already, he's spent a couple $100 million on this. But I want to get into the more stuff about how it's fighting.
This is just like having a dollhouse. Like, yeah. This is so fucking lame. Like, you could buy a Sukhoi.
What's a Sukhoi?
A fighter jet.
Ugh, man, this guy's got planes on the brain. He's got, seriously, I was DMing him recently, and I was like, tell me about all this plane stuff, bro.
So it says, Rolling Stone asked him, are you interested in getting any outside financing, or do you want to be in complete control? He said, I don't really want to be in control so much. I'm not that sort of person. No, he's just sort of the person that creates a giant cruise liner for his own amusement.
What do you mean you don't want to be in control? Yeah. You're mapping out the class systems for your fantasy.
But I've got too much money, so I don't need any other money. We don't need to raise any funds. We don't need to take mums and dads' money. If anyone loses money, it's me. And I'm happy to lose money at this age. We can make instant decisions about what we want to do without worrying about the consequences. We haven't got a committee that sits and says, oh, we should do this. What's the SEC say? It'll be a COVID vaccine-free environment. And then Rolling Stone asks, vaccine-free how? And he says, we won't have any. We don't believe people should be compelled. You might be aware of it, but I recently funded a case in Queensland where we had the vaccines declared unlawful because we believe it impeded on individual choice and freedom, and the courts agreed with us as well, the Superior Court. So that's the first in the world. That was another controversial thing. But then they asked, will the vaccinated be allowed on the ship? And he says, yes. We've got to extend our hand in love and friendship for people being vaccinated despite the side effects. We have to look after them, and they're all good people. We're all the same, really, like white, green, yellow, whatever. Whatever it is, to embrace each other.
So what kind of aliens does he have as friends that he can identify as green? Or there's some kind of new race that I haven't heard
about? That's the thing racist people say when they want to assure you that they're not being racist.
Oh, yes, 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 yes. Like, oh, I like all races.
I don't care if you're purple.
I don't care if you're Simpsons yellow. I don't care if you're Avatar blue. You know, I don't care if you're red skeleton red. We accept you for every color, primary or not.
And so he says, this gets to something you said in your recent press conference, which is that the Titanic reflects traditional values instead of woke values. So can you explain what that means? There's been a concept in society that you can cancel people. I think you know what I mean by canceled people, but we think that's a terrible concept. The United States was founded on the rights of men to be different. The diversity that we've had in our economy and our intellectual development has really meant that's developed our society to a higher level. I'm talking about Western society in general. So the French Revolution, the American Revolution, all those things were brought about by individuals claiming their rights to express an opinion or view. I mean, you should have the right to be wrong.
I do like anyone who is openly fighting against cancel culture and saying, hey, I'm not going to let this change how I operate. But I mean, he sounds like a douchebag. Every other reason,
and you know, like I said, I kind of have to admire this guy for, you know, putting up his own money.
Well, that's like the least impressive thing since he's got billions. And honestly, I'm kind of offended that he didn't want to make more money from this. I'm like, so what? You get to a billion and you don't like you think that you like what, you stop working because you're lazy?
Well, I mean, like, I think he's being remarkably optimistic when he says, like, you know, if we lose money on this.
I think, okay, let me help him make this into a full concept that can really set off for the kind of target audience that I assume he's going. We get every major canceled person to have a section of the Titanic that they host for a different night.
And then sail it right into a fucking iceberg
in
the North Atlantic.
Yeah. Well, I don't want Kanye to be on there, but I think he would be an excellent candidate to have like a concert where he flies in and does something. I mean, absolutely. I'm just, you know, other canceled people that could probably, you know, I'm sure Louis C.K. could probably do a set on there. I'm just, you know, like I'm thinking out loud, like I'm sure Trump could do a little speech on there, but I don't think it should just be aimed towards those people. I mean, Alex Jones could probably do an episode on there. Jordan Peterson could probably have like run the smoothie bar.
Handing out potatoes to people.
Oh my God, the potato tooth. Oh my God.
It just gives me great pleasure to see people enjoy a simple potato, but it's something that I could never do.
He didn't even say baked potatoes though, which is crazy. I've been pretty crazy about baked potatoes lately too. I mean,
Yeah, so that's the Titanic guy. I think we're good on time.
We're good.
Okay.
All right.
I want to just say thank you all so much for inviting me into your life and letting me murder you all in one episode.
Jacques, it's been great. Pleasure.
Jacques, it's been great.
I'll see y'all later tonight.
I'll see you later the show.
If y'all don't know, you probably
it'll be out by the time you get this out.
You motherfucker losers missed out on coming to the Los Angeles premiere of Showpig at Lodrum April 4th at 7 p.m. And if you can go back in time and listen. I'm on a podcast called Seeking Derangements. We are on SoundCloud, Patreon, Spotify. Please subscribe to our Patreon. I am a DJ if you need me. I am a painter if you need me.
And if Pete's Bing Energy Drink Company is out there, also please get in touch with Jacques.
Petey's.
It's Petey's
okay. I wanted to confirm. And thanks everyone who listened today and actually didn't turn off the episode and throw away their computer.
Jacques, always a pleasure.
We do have one thing to promote. The tickets just went live for Saturday, May 4th. Will, and speaking of Seeking Derangements, Hessa doing a Movie Mindset season 2 premiere party show at Littlefield.
Littlefield. Yeah,
May 4th.
Please come out to that movie screening.
Link in what's the date for that? May 4th.
May 4th.
Okay, I'm flying there. I'll see you there. I'll be in the audience screaming, heckling.
All right, till next time, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Was that
night swimming deserves a quiet night. Swimming deserves a quiet night. The photograph on the dashboard taken years ago. Turn around back.